This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers, and thank you so much for joining us. We'll start with our celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month. The history and documentation of Latinx people in Wisconsin hasn't always been complete. But a group called the Wisconsin Latinx History Collective is trying to change that by documenting and empowering Latinx history. Founding members Tess Arenas and Sergio Gonzalez are collaborating with public historians like Margarita Sandoval Scari to collect the stories of Latinx Wisconsinites. One historical figure you may have heard of is Rafael Baez. He's the first Latinx person recorded to have lived in Milwaukee. Lake Effect's Mallory Chang takes a look into Baez's story, the work of the collective, and how Milwaukee's Latinx community can trace back its roots.
Outside of Bruce Guadalupe Community School in Walker's Point, there's a mural that shows the history of Latinx Milwaukeeans. If you look closely, in the first panel, you'll see Rafael Baez. He was the first recorded Latinx Milwaukeean and is a significant part of our city's history. I spoke with a group of Wisconsin Latinx historians, Tess Arenas, Margarita Sandoval Scari, and Sergio Gonzalez, who are all working to document and preserve the histories of Latinx Wisconsinites. First, we'll hear from Sergio Gonzalez, an assistant professor of Latinx studies at Marquette University. He helps give a rundown of who Baez was.
Rafael Baez was born in Puebla, Mexico in the 1860s. And from a young age, he was a bit of a prodigy when it came to music. And there was an opera company from the United States that was doing a tour of Mexico, which was pretty common in the 19th century. And they were looking for some local talent to come and play with them. And people kept saying his name, so he did. And when they finished their tour in Mexico, they invited him to come back to the United States with them. And he did a tour through the country. And for some reason that historians have never been able to figure out, when he decided to settle down, he didn't go back to Mexico. He decided to stay here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Baez went on to marry fellow musician Mary Schoen, a German immigrant in 1889. He stayed in Milwaukee for the rest of his life until his death in 1931.
But he started off by being a choir director and an organist for some of the biggest churches and synagogues in the city of Milwaukee. And then his life really picked up from there, and he had a lot of different occupations after that. He became a music tutor for some of the city's kind of elites. So they would send their kids to go and learn how to play specifically piano, but also violin, which was his favorite instrument. He became a composer, and he actually published a few pieces. He became kind of a bit player in local politics, a member of the Democratic Party. And then, you know, really interesting to me as a professor at Marquette University, he became Marquette University's first documented Mexican and Latinx professor. He became a professor of music and theory at the turn of the century. Rafael Baez is the first documented person, right? It's the first person we can kind of identify in the archives and the sources. But of course, we would imagine that there were people who came before him, either directly from Mexico or kind of migrated from different parts of the Southwest. It's just that historically, it's been very difficult to find those traces in the kind of established archives, institutional records, and papers. And so we could assume that there are people who came before him as well. After Rafael Baez, there's kind of a bit of a lull in the number of people coming from Latin America to Wisconsin. And it's not until the 1920s that we start to see a large influx of people arriving from Latin American countries. And the big reason, there's a couple of big reasons. One is because the United States Congress functionally shuts off immigration from Europe, which means that all of those big companies in Milwaukee that depended on the cheap and controllable labor of European immigrants now needed to find new sources of workers. And so they looked off into Mexico, which was not included in those quotas that had cut off immigration in the 1920s. And so companies like the Pfister and Vogel Tannery and Harnisch-Fager and other factories and foundries in the cities began to recruit specifically young Mexican men up to Milwaukee to work in, you know, low-paying, back-breaking, really kind of rough positions. And these Mexican men would come up, and when they found that there were good opportunities, they would send word back home and they would bring their families up. And so beginning in the 1920s, you start to see the development of a small, what we call a colonia, a little colony on the south side of Milwaukee, right around those factories and foundries. That story really develops throughout the 20th century to become a much more diverse and wide-ranging story. In the 1940s and 1950s, we can look out into the agricultural field outside of Milwaukee, where Texas Mexican workers, known as Tejanos, begin to arrive in the state in large numbers. In the 1950s, about 15,000 Tejanos would come to the state every single year to work in anything and everything you can imagine being picked in Wisconsin's agricultural fields. In the 1950s, we have Puerto Rican migrant workers arriving directly from the island and from other cities like Chicago to come and work in our factories and foundries. The 1960s, Cuban refugees arriving, many of them coming from Miami when the city becomes kind of too overpacked with people, not enough economic opportunities, and they come to Milwaukee looking for better lives. In the 1980s, you have Central Americans often arriving as refugees from places like El Salvador and Guatemala, looking for a space of safe harbor, and Milwaukee religious organizations help them find it here. And that story kind of develops and develops. And so the thing that's really interesting about Milwaukee is that Milwaukee has really almost always had a very diverse Latinx population. It's never been just one. It's not been Mexican or Puerto Rican or Cuban. It's always been kind of this wide kaleidoscope of different peoples.
Gonzalez is a founding member of the Wisconsin Latinx History Collective, a group of scholars and community researchers in communities across the state that are documenting Wisconsin Latinx history and are committed to the stewardship of Latinx archival collections. The collective is working for 5 years to document Latinx history in partnership with UW-Madison, the Wisconsin History Collective, and Chicana Bordomiudasa, Digital Memory Collective.
And so I've been really proud and fortunate to work with this growing group of historians across our state who have all been brought under this kind of central goal, which is to re-envision Wisconsin history as one that is inclusive of the Latinx story, or Latinx stories in the plural. We're working under the direction of, I think, one of the greatest public scholars that we have working in Wisconsin, Dr. Tess Arenas, who did really tireless work at UW-Madison and UW System for years, and has now given up her retirement to really bring us all together and to gather the resources to preserve these stories.
Tess Arenas is the founder and the lead of the Wisconsin Latinx History Collective. She is also known for her work at the Somos Latinas History Project, a project that documents the significant and largely hidden contributions of Latinas in Wisconsin.
The collective was founded in January of 2020, and it's an offshoot of my work for documenting Latina activists over the age of 50, which is known as the Somos Latina Digital History Collection. We take an appreciative inquiry approach to these interviews. And these are not journalistic exposés where we're trying to dig up the dirt on an individual's life. We're trying to set the historical record straight about what Latinx people bring to a community and bring to our state. And we approach our oral history interviews from that perspective. What have you done? What would you like to share? What words of wisdom do you have for others who want to do similar things? And by educating others about our contributions and our possibilities, we can remove barriers, attitudinal barriers and behavioral barriers to people, Latinx people flourishing in this state.
Gonzalez credits the work of local Latinx public historians for spearheading the documentation of the Wisconsin Latinx community.
The work of kind of documenting this history has been a long and arduous process, and it's one that I am very thankful to be a part of, but there have been many people who came before me who have been doing this work, either whether it was families in the 1920s and 30s who were preserving their own families' histories, kind of leaving those trails for future historians to find, or beginning in the 1970s and 80s, public historians who perhaps didn't have official positions at universities and they weren't classically trained as historians with PhDs, but they had a real passion for finding this history and making sure that it was a part of our state's register.
Margarita Sandoval Scari is a retired Milwaukee Public Schools teacher and librarian. She also started the genealogy tent at Mexican Fiesta, where festival goers can learn the ropes of tracing their familial lineage.
I'm not used to being called a public historian. The genealogy for me started 15, 16, 17 years ago that I started the booth at Mexican Fiesta. And one of the first largest exhibits that I became involved in with were the early Mexicans that came from Mexico to Milwaukee. And my father is one of them. He's called one of los primeros, or the first. I was born into a Mexican family. We grew up actually singing. My sisters and I were seven children in total. We would listen to the albums Trio Los Panchos, Edie Gourmet, and Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, of course.
Que se quede el infinito sin estrellas, o que pierda el ancho mar su inmensidad, pero el negro de tus ojos que no muera, y el canela de tu piel se quede igual.
Margarita enjoys showing others how to document their family's lineage. She recommends you start at where she knows best, your local library.
You can use Ancestry at no charge at the Milwaukee Public Library, because they have purchased it so that people can come to the Milwaukee Public Library and sit in the library and use Ancestry for free. If your family is from, let's say, New York, you may also want to go to their websites for their libraries to see, because the libraries now have scanned so many types of other documents, maps, and charts that you may not find anywhere else. And you can get in touch with the librarians there. Your librarians are your friends.
Her next tip, interview your family and keep those documents.
If you're really a good genealogist, you will be connected with some family members that you may know or may not know, and you will have to take a visit to whatever foreign country it might be, or a visit to whatever local state in the United States it might be. If your parents are living, you are most fortunate, and hopefully they have some good memories and good stories to tell. You can tape record these stories or just take notes. You want to interview perhaps in their home, or you bring them, like I have done, to my home, and then I feed them a meal and they usually don't say no. After that, you're going to say, okay, now I just met somebody new through maybe a website and you've been in touch with your relatives. So now you need to have a visit, a genealogy visit. It was a number of years ago that 20 members from my family, we went to Mexico, sisters and their husbands, my husband, daughter, friends of hers. We all went, and we went to Zacatecas. That was where we did our search. We went to La Estancia de los Delgadillos, where my father was from, as well Rancho San Pablo, where my mother was from. And we saw so many wonderful things. Cemeteries. Make sure you always go to cemeteries and take photographs. Interview your family members. Take notes, or if they will allow, you take sound recordings and you ask them about the past. And so many people are very free to give information. After our visits to Mexico, then I came back and just continued the same work. As genealogists, we collect documents. That's the proof of things. So you want to collect birth, marriage, baptismal documents, death documents, cemetery documents, maybe high school documents. It's our history. It's our families, our early relatives who came to Milwaukee. It's important that we educate our young children growing up so that they can be proud of their heritage.
Our history is of no value unless our children know about it.
That's Tess Arenas again from the Wisconsin Latinx History Collective.
These young people come up, they understand the integral part Latinx play in the state economy, the culture, morals, and values of the state. My dream is that the materials that we, our collective members produce, are used in educational settings from K-12 to post-secondary. We're looking at traveling exhibits for schools and museums and local history organizations and curriculum our goal is to continually share what's been developed across the state.
History is a question of narratives, and it's a question of power and a question of actors. And so we have to think about who has historically had the opportunity to have their voice included in the narratives that we tell each other, and the way in which those narratives often color things beyond just the history books that we write and the stories we tell around the dinner table, but they have real political and economic ramifications. And so, but I really hope that the work we're doing is going to have large ramifications beyond just an academic endeavor. For me, the joy that I find in doing this work is to know that there are scattered stories across our city. And it's the job of me as a historian and the students that I work with and all the public historians who have been doing this work for decades to accumulate the stories, to preserve those stories, and then most importantly, to share those stories with the rest of Wisconsin so that Wisconsinites across the state understand that Latinx history is Wisconsin history. And that if we don't understand Latinx history, we can't understand the story of our state.
Tess Arenas is the founder and lead of the Wisconsin Latinx History Collective. Sergio Gonzalez is an assistant professor of Latinx studies at Marquette University. And Margarita Sandoval Scari is a retired Milwaukee public schools teacher and librarian. They spoke with Lake Effect's Mallory Chang. We're celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month all month long here at WUWM. And you can find more coverage at wuwm.com/Hispanic Heritage. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at wuwm.com.